Our podcast will begin in just a moment. InvestTalk production and distribution made possible by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. This week, KPP introduced the My 401k program. And you may have questions about it. This program analyzes the choices inside your employer's 401k, factors in your risk tolerance, and then builds a portfolio that fits your personal risk tolerance. If you have a question you'd like to ask directly, go to investtalk.com and click on Contact Justin. If you'd like to take a look at it, click on the Investments tab on investtalk.com and then My 401k. End of commercial. And now, today's InvestTalk.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday edition of InvestTalk. It is October 6, 2016. And I'm here to help you find the answers to the money puzzle or puzzles that are part of our daily lives. We zero in on investing, particularly in the stock market, as you all know, because it's about the only way to make our money grow these days. You can't do it with CDs and money markets. That's not happening. You can do it to some degree with bonds, but very low returns on those too. And that's probably why the market's holding up. There's not a lot of places to go. But we have some interesting facts to share with you today. We're going to talk about some about bonds and the fact that in just the first 6 months of 2016, investors have pulled out $64 billion from stocks and added $104 billion to bonds. So should you join that shift to bonds? Is that what you should do? And speaking of bonds, you hear the term junk bonds quite often, right? Heard many, I've talked about it. And many novice investors think they were term junk bond means an investment that is kind of fraudulent or some kind of scam. No, that's not what it means. Okay, junk bonds actually at times can be very beneficial and very rewarding. And the word junk just is something related to the ratings. Remember, a junk bond is exactly the same in structure as a regular bond. Junk bonds are, just like regular bonds, are IOUs from a corporation, if you're talking about private bonds, IOUs from a corporation or organization that states the amount it will pay you back, the principal. That's what they'll pay you back, and the date they will pay it back to you, the maturity date, and the interest during that period of time, which is called the coupon rate. Will pay you on that borrowed money. You're lending money to somebody. Now, the only difference between a junk bond and a regular bond is the credit quality. Investment-grade bonds are issued by lenders with low to medium risk. The typical rating of such a bond will be AAA to BBB. That's investment grade. These bonds will not have significant yields above the Treasury yields. However, the default rate in investment-grade bonds is very low. The default rate in junk bonds can be very high, especially in recessions. So did you get that? Now, the junk bonds are basically broken down into two different categories, fallen angels and rising stars. Fallen angels means a company that's on hit hard times, so their bonds are downgraded to junk. And rising stars are young companies coming up, but they're still risky because they're young, but they're growing and growing fast and making money, but they still could be rated junk because they haven't been around very long and they're still small. So you got what side are, and then you had fallen angels that you might want to buy the junk bond because they're big blue chip stocks on short-term problems, but their bonds are now paying pretty good yields. You know they're going to survive. Maybe time to buy one of those junk bonds. See, it's not as simple as just, you know, you still got to understand the company behind the bond. So do you have a question about bonds? We'll talk more about it if you want to. And of course, we'll spend some time on other talking points. 888-99-CHART is how you reach me. You can do it by phone. We're live 4 to 5 Pacific time. Of course, you can call and ask your questions anytime, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and we'll answer on the next InvestTalk.
I wanted to know, I hear a lot of radio programs advertising gold for sale. and it seems like they don't have a brick-and-mortar building to go to, and I hesitate to purchase stuff over a radio advertisement like that. And they don't normally, you don't normally see those companies listed on the stock market that you can invest in per se. What do you do in a case like that if you want to invest in gold, but you don't feel comfortable in the A, investing in, you know, so stock mining companies, and B, these companies that sell it over the radio? Thank you.
Well, I don't mind having a company advertise over the radio, but you really want to go to a probably your local gold coin dealer. Because you know, and you can get, you know, you want somebody who's been around a long time that has a reputable reputation. Buying stuff online, especially assets, I would be very skeptical of myself. You know, because anybody can say anything on the radio. So go down, if you're interested in buying gold coins or even gold bars, go to the local large gold dealer. They're everywhere. And buy the gold. Buy it if you want that. You don't need to buy it over the radio. I wouldn't. So, you know, it doesn't mean that they're bad or good. You just don't know. But, you know, I wouldn't buy anything just because it's on the radio. Not just because. If they're advertising and they tell you to come down to their store, been doing business for 30 years, and they're just advertising, that's okay. But if they're trying to sell online gold to you, send us money and we'll send you the gold. I don't know about that. I wouldn't do it. I certainly wouldn't do it. So should you join the shift to bond? That's going to be our main talking point today. Also, I wanted to talk about earnings. Earnings, because we're in earnings season already. Remember, it's after the first, start of the first quarter, but even though numbers won't be coming out from corporations for very much or very heavy for the next week or two, we are still in earnings seasons. So let's talk about the earnings projections that are coming out. There's some interesting numbers that some of it makes sense, some of it doesn't. And I wanted to talk about Cisco, not Cisco the company necessarily, but Chambers, the CEO of Cisco, and what he said about businesses going out of business over the next 10 years. Did you see that? Remember when I talked about Creative Destruction, the book Creative Destruction? That's all he's talking about, but we're going to get into that. And why people don't save money for retirement. Why don't they? What's the psychology to prevent people not saving money? Well, there's been a study, and several studies actually, and this is a report on the consensus opinion is why people don't do that. So those are things we're going to talk about today, besides the bonds, of course. What is on your mind? What do you want to talk about? What happened in the market today was kind of interesting. The Dow down 13, the Nasdaq down 9, and the S&P up 1. I think everybody's waiting for the jobs report tomorrow, the official jobs report. We had ADP report, you know, a couple days ago. ADP is a private sector survey of private sector jobs, not government jobs, whereas the official report adds private and government jobs together and it comes up with a number. They're not going to be great. They're going to be, you know, fairly benign, I think. The surprise would be if they're not. And, of course, markets don't like surprises. We'll see if that happens. 888-99-CHART is my number. How to spot a stock market trend before it's obvious to everybody else. That must be the goal of every investor. Get there ahead of the crowd. Man, that's hard to do. Well, I can't promise perfect prognostications, but I can say that our weekly premium newsletter can give you some insight into the movements of the market. So see the trends as they build. Give you some perspective. Give it a try for a month. Just go to investtalk.com and scroll down to the bottom of the page.
Hi, Steve and Justin. This is Eric in Penguins, Utah. I was calling about ticker symbol RRD. That's for R.R. Donnelly. I know that previously you've talked about this on your show, talking about it's been pretty steady and it pays out, looks like it pays out about a 13% dividend yield. But I noticed in the last week it's lost 54% of its value and then just today it dropped another 6%. I think it did a spinoff of part of into another finance company or something like that. Anyway, wanted to know what you thought about this stock. I assume I need to let it kind of trade sideways for a while before looking to put any money into it, but wanted to know what you thought of the new company now that it has this spinoff. And anyway, I'll be listening on the next show. Thank you so much. Goodbye.
RR Donnelly and Sons. I'm not sure if we're talking about the same company because I don't see a spinoff, and I don't see it dropping that much. Provides printing, direct mail, financial printing, print fulfillment, and other print services to various industries. It's going to make $5.05 next year. That's up 37% from this year. You're going to make $3.69. And maybe you're attracted to it by the huge dividend yield, because it is around 13-14%, and a low PE of 5. But I think that would be a mistake. Why? Look what they're in. They're in providing printing, direct mail, financial printing, printing documents. And that is going slowly down in volume in sales because of the internet, because everybody's looking online. You don't need to print as much as you used to. And sales have been slowly falling. And you'll say, well, the PE is only 5, and next year it's a $22 stock. They're going to earn $5 next year. That means the PE is going to be less than 5. Well, don't get too excited about it. The 5-year range for Donnelly is 2 to 7. 2 PE to 7 PE. That's the 5-year range. Very, very low, right? So it looks like it's a good value play. Why is it low? That should be the first thing in your head. Why is it so low? Why has it been so low? Whenever you see a PE and a high dividend yield, you have to ask yourself, why? What's going on? Why is it so low? First of all, they got huge debt. Why are they paying 14% with huge debt? That's kind of worrisome. How can they do that? And second of all, volume's going down. This company trades 7 times book value. I mean, it's not worth the stock price that it is. I wouldn't buy the stock. RRD would not. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. That's our number. I'd love to talk to you. We're going to talk about bonds. What's happening, we've seen a shift from this year, a shift from stock funds, stock mutual funds, to bond mutual funds. And we're talking about significant. And it's continuing on week after week after week. $64 billion so far this year from stock funds and $104 billion to bond funds. People put money in bond funds. And this is at a point, this is at a time when bond funds are paying very, very low yields. Now, bond funds go up in value when interest rates go down, and bond funds go down in value when interest rates go up. That's how that works. And we've had very low interest rates, very low. And as they've come down, 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 they even went down after the Fed raised interest rates in December. So people are getting a sense that they're making money when they're really may not be the case. All you're doing is assuming you're making money because your bond fund values have been going up. You really got to concentrate on your yield and yield to maturity and your quality of bonds. That's why I always tell people we like to buy the bonds directly up. That we buy the bonds in our balanced income portfolio, which is half bonds and half high dividend paying stocks. We buy the actual bonds to hold on to maturity. So we know they go from par back to par, meaning if we bought a bond at $10,000, we hold it for the year, 2, 3, 4 years we own it, it'll go back to par at $10,000. What it does in between, up and down in value, don't care. I'm just after the yields. How much am I getting? I'm Steve Peasley, and no matter where your level of experience with your money, doesn't matter. Give me a call. We'd love to talk to you. We cover all the range of money issues, from stocks to reverse mortgages. Go ahead. Give me a call. 888-99-CHART. Any question is okay. You know, on our website, investtalk.com or kppfinancial.com, we have a section there where we have a list of books. And every so often I talk about a book or two that I think are good. And I've talked about this one off and on for some time, and that is Creative Destruction. And it is a book that I think if you're going to invest in the market, the stock market, it's a book that you have to read. And another one I like a lot that, you know, I recommend a lot is, you know, the popular delusions and the madness of crowds. And that's really not about the stock market per se. It talks about the history, it talks about history and delusions and what crowds do, the madness of crowds, the delusions that a group of people, masses amount of people go through. And then you kind of try to relate that, and you can relate that to, let's say, the dot-com issue or the housing bubble. You can relate that the knowledge of that book, and it's just pretty interesting, I think. Let's go to Joe, Daly City. How you doing, Joe? Joe, are you there? How you doing?
Oh, doing well. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for the call.
Great. Yeah, a little while ago, I bought some stock for Sun Edison, S-U-N-E.
S-U-N-E. Boy, our reception's really bad.
It shows a value, yeah. And so I was wondering what it is having trading bankrupt.
Okay, S-U-N-E, you said it went bankrupt, but it's showing a value. Is that what you said?
That's correct.
Okay. Now, when a company goes bankrupt, okay, it doesn't necessarily mean the stocks are worthless. It generally means that, but doesn't necessarily mean that, okay? When a company goes bankrupt, there's two kinds of bankruptcies. There's Chapter 11 and Chapter 7. Chapter 11 means they reorganize and come out of bankruptcy as a different company. What happens to your shares when they do that? Well, when they reorganize, they go before a judge and they say, okay, we have this much in debt, we owe this much to these bondholders and this much to these people, and the last people in line to get anything is, and this is how many shareholders, the stocks we have and shareholders. So judge looks at all that and says, okay, if you're going to come out, we'll forgive all this debt, we pay these people this much, and the shareholders get a penny a share. So you could have a stock that you bought for $20 a share, now you're getting a penny a share. Or you could have bought 500 shares and now you're going to get, you know, 2 shares or 100 shares or 50 shares at a much reduced if they come out of bankruptcy. That's one way it can show a value, Joe. Okay? The other way is the company is now a shell. It got rid of all its assets, paid off all the debts, it went Chapter 7. But the name is still out there, and you still own the shares. You still own this shell that is nothing. Well, someone could buy that shell because they like the name, or the name, you know, they like the companies that has been around a while, even though it's not active. It's has zero assets in it. But maybe the brand name has a value. And so someone might want to try to buy up the shares. That's a way the shares could show value, too. Joe, it can't be showing much in value. How much is it showing? How much is it trading for?
I think it's about 30%.
Okay. And it's probably on the pink sheets, meaning it's not traded on the stock exchange per se. It's traded off the stock exchange because it's too weak. Remember, the stock exchange has rules. You have to have so much. You got to be worth so much. You got to be. So what it's showing, you can call your broker, Joe, and try to sell it if you can. See if there's a buy out there for 30 cents. But that's how you can have value. Okay? Joe, appreciate the call. Thank you. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Should you buy bonds? And, you know, we talked about this. You know, should you buy the bonds and get out of stocks and or vice versa? Everybody's doing it. A lot of people are doing it. And I'm going to tell you right now that the answer is no. You should have a plan already in place, and if that plan includes having bonds, great. If that plan doesn't include having bonds, great. But to just get out of one asset class and get into another asset class because everybody else is doing it, that's actually the wrong thing to do. That's a mistake. Now, try to remember, as I said before, bond values, the value of bond funds and the value of bonds themselves go up and down with interest rates. The problem you have when you buy a bond mutual fund is that they have a net asset value based on the based on the value of the bonds they hold, but none of the fund never matures. A mutual fund never matures. Bonds that it holds mature, but they keep reinvesting. So if interest rates go up, the bond value, the NAV of that bond fund, will go down. The same thing is true with the bond itself, but the bond itself always goes back to par. If you bought it, you will get your money back at some point at par. That's the beauty about that. So it can go down and up anytime between. You don't care. You're holding the maturity. We're open to your money questions and comments at 888-99-CHART. That's all you can get through right now. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, and this is Invest Talk.
Invest Talk continues now. Remember, if you want to talk to Steve or Justin live, have a conversation like the other callers, you can call our anytime number between 4 and 5 Pacific Time, 4 and 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 888-99-CHART, and be on our podcast. And now, more Invest Talk. You're listening to Invest Talk for Thursday, October 6th. You tell the company when you'd like these mutual funds to retire, and they do all the investing for you. What could be easier? But are these funds truly a good investment? The case against target date funds. That's next time, but you can still set the topic for today. 888-99-CHART is how to reach us right now.
888-99-CHART. We happen to listen to any calls you want to make. We're open for business. 888-992-4278.
Hi, Steve and Justin. This is Roger calling from Spain. What's going on with gold? It seems that the sky is falling. I'd like you to review a stock. Symbol is OR. This is Osisko Gold Royalties Limited. If you could talk about it on the show, and I'll listen to it on the podcast. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yep, gold is taking, what, 5-6 days in a row, taking a pretty big hit. Think about the dollar, what's happening with the dollar, and what's happening around the world. The dollar has been 5-6 days in a row pretty moving up pretty sharply. That's it. There's no other, you don't have to look much further than that, other than why is the dollar moving up? Osisko Gold Realties is a Canadian-based company engaged in the business of acquiring and managing royalty assets in the gold sector. Okay? So what's royalty assets is it buying? That's really what the cue is. Obviously, it's in the gold sector, but what assets is it buying? It's going to make 21 cents a share this year, then 24 cents a share next year. It made 27 cents a share last year. Not very exciting on the earnings scale. It only pays a 1.2% dividend. So you would think as a royalty asset company that it would flow more money to you, the shareholder, but it only has a 27 cents per share cash flow. It's a $1 billion company making about $15 billion in sales this last quarter. And that has gone up from a year ago nicely, but they've kind of flattened out the last two or three quarters. It's not. There's no reason to buy this company, that for one thing. It's gone from $14.50 a couple of months ago to $9.99. And even if gold stayed up, I still wouldn't buy this company. There's no reason to buy. What is the return on equity? 6%. The P/E ratio on a $10 stock going to make 24 cents next year? What is that? 30? Why would you want 40? Why would you want this stock? There's no reason to own this stock whatsoever. None. Doesn't pay a huge dividend. Why would you buy it? So I would get rid of this in a heartbeat. I wouldn't have bought it in the first place. You should have called before you bought it, unless you don't. You're thinking about buying it now after it's fallen so far, and I'll say no, don't buy it. There's no earthly reason. This might go up when gold goes back up. May not, because it's not, I don't see any reason to do it. You know, it's too small, and no reason to own it. Just really isn't. 888-99-CHART. Okay, yes, we are now into earnings season, right? Into earning season. You know, there'll be the third quarter earnings that the companies will be reporting on. And The market has had a very peaceful summer, right? I mean, the market itself is the least volatile summer in the last 10 years. 2 months, July from July 8th to September 8th, very calm market. Now, recently, intraday volatility is increasing, just recently, okay? And why is that? Well, now we're going to look at earnings. I think people are starting to gear up and get nervous. Maybe they're starting to gear up to get nervous about who's presidential election. And maybe traders are coming back, investors are coming back from vacations for the summer. Regardless, we have an estimate of the S&P 500 for shrinkage of earnings by 2.5%. 2.5%. And this will be about, is it 6 quarters in a row? People have a difference of opinion, 5 or 6 quarters in a row. And oddly enough, bulls and bears are pretty complacent, right? I mean, yeah, it's been more active up and down, but still not going anywhere. So should we worry about this? Well, remember, stock prices move up when earnings increase. Okay, so what can drive stock prices? Okay, valuations of the S&P 500. What should the valuations be? The consensus view regarding valuations right now is stocks are apparently maybe fairly valued or overvalued a bit, but not tremendously overvalued. And I know that people will call me about the Shiller PE saying it's 27 and that's very high. Well, they changed the GAAP rules, general accounting principle rules, in 2008-09. So maybe it's not nearly as high if you consider the changes they made to the GAAP rules. Just a thought, and I don't want to get into that. But the trailing 12-month PE ratio, trailing, and we all know we look forward, but to give you some scale, the trailing PE ratio is like 24. That's much higher than normal. Now, the forward earnings estimate is for a 13.5% increase next year. 13.5%. Remember, we've had nothing but shrinking earnings this year for the S&P 500. So that may account for why the market is not going down, because everybody's expecting great things next year. But as I've always said, and I've written in my book, experts are always wrong. I pretty much can assure you that that's not going to be 13.5%. It's going to be less. How much less? I don't know. So earnings have been shrinking. It's hard for me to say that the market will rally. It's just hard. Excuse me. But it can. Don't think it can't. It can go up and up and up. And the presidential election's coming in. The market has pretty much built in a Hillary Clinton win. Why do I say that? It's because look how the market's reacting. Remember, market doesn't like uncertainty. And if Trump comes in, that's huge uncertainty for the market. With a Hillary win, the market is pretty much assured that she'll continue the Obama administration programs. And therefore, there's not going to be much change. The market likes no change. That's why I'm saying that probably the market is pricing in a Hillary victory. So what if she doesn't win? What will the market do? All kind of interesting things, huh? Very interesting. Let's go to Robbie, Ruby in Santa Clara. How you doing, Ruby?
Hi, Steve. Thanks for taking my call. So if I were to buy an index fund, what is the risk involved in that? So if what I observed, if the index is down, the fund value is going down. So right. What scenarios it will go up and what scenarios will go down? Just would like to know your opinion on that at the current levels.
Now, there's a lot of indexes, Ruby. Do you want to talk about any particular one or just indexes in general?
The index, it's not a sector-wise index. It's a S&P 500.
Okay.
Kind of stuff.
Okay. So the S&P 500 is the 500 largest companies in the stock market, and that represents about 80% of the market, 70 to 80% of the overall marketplace. So if the, those stocks go down, of course, that index will follow. And if the stocks in those index go up, the market follows it, you know. And the S&P 500, there are some super large companies like Apple and like ExxonMobil and that kind of have a bigger weighting factor in the S&P 500. But overall, the index will track the overall stock market. The S&P 500 is one of the broadest indexes out there. So the market goes down, that means everybody's probably going down. There'll be winners. There'll be some companies going up, and then there'll be some companies going down much more than the index. But on average, the market will go up and down with the bulk of the stocks. Now, you can buy other indexes. There's small, what we call small cap indexes, which tracks the smaller companies. There's index that track that, you know, there's an S&P 500 dividend index. It just has the bigger dividend stocks in it. There's all kinds of indexes, but generally where the market goes, all those index follow. Some will just go faster up and faster down. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Did I answer your question?
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks for calling, Roby. I appreciate the call. Really do. Okay, Cisco Chambers, the CEO of Cisco Systems, said that 40% of businesses will be gone in 10 years. Will be gone in 10 years. What he's talking about is he's talking about creative destruction, which I had mentioned earlier on the top of the show. Companies like Uber and Lyft and Amazon, cell phone makers are becoming, you know, the cell phone becoming more computers, not cell phones. All this technology shift means that other businesses that don't stay up with it go out of business. I'll give you an example. How many cab companies will go out of business because of Uber? How many retail stores will go out of business, retail chains for that matter, because of Amazon? People buying online. See, this is creative destruction. This means it'll be, they'll put out millions of people out of work. This will. But they'll also produce millions of other jobs. Happens all the time. What do you want to do? You know, some people say, oh, we've got to preserve these jobs. We've got to preserve those jobs. Who says? Where? Why? This makes no sense to me. Should, okay, let's think of it this way. Let's go back when the automobile was invented. Should you have preserved before the car was coming, the car was just coming out and everything was horse and buggy. Should you have saved and preserved the buggy whip companies, the companies that made buggy whips for the horses? Should you have preserved the jobs of street cleaners who used to come and clean off the horse droppings? Should you preserve the horse breeders? Should you preserve all those guys, all those companies? See, you can't, it makes no sense. You have to let this system work. If you don't, you end up with a backward and very behind economic system that it will not keep up and will be a third world country. You see it, you can see the evidence everywhere in the world. Those who do not embrace the new technologies fall behind. Want an example? How about North Korea? How about USSR over all those years where they tried to, and even China, where they tried to control what was produced and how much and what jobs people would do and what companies they would let survive? Look what it did. Look at it in Russia's entire economy. Their whole economy is based on oil and natural gas. They're so far behind on any other. When's the last time you had a company in Russia be on the cutting edge? I'm just asking the question. When's the last time? See, you can't do it. You have, especially for us, if us meaning the U.S., if we want to stay on the cutting edge, you got to let all these companies go out of business, get destroyed by new technology. You have to let them happen. And I realize it's very painful. But the better thing to do is retrain those employees for the new technologies. You have to. Justin and I believe that our new program for 401k investors can help you meet a serious challenge that everybody faces that has a 401k. and we're calling it My 401k. And it what it does is it ranks your current 401k investment options with your employer's specific plan, what you have, all those options you have, and based on current trends, long-term performance, and your personal risk tolerance, gives you, well, put 20% in this one, 30% in that one, and it adjusts and gives you updates every quarter. Take a look at it. Click on the Investments tab on investtalk.com. It's called, click on the My 401k. You'll see it.
Our InvestTalk mission is to help you make better investing decisions. To do that on your own, thumbs up or thumbs down choices based on good, solid investing principles. But we need your questions to keep us on track. 888-99-CHART or click on Contact Steve or contact Justin on investtalk.com.
Yeah, hi, this is Dan from Los Angeles. I was wondering if, for starting a college fund, if it's wise to stick with a 529 plan, even though that their tax-exempt status may be revoked in the coming years. Thank you.
I know that that's been in the news, that the tax-exempt status for 529 will be revoked, but it probably won't be retroactive. It'll be, you know, in the future. So I don't, and I have doubts that that will happen. Big doubts. I don't think they're going to do it. There's, you know, what politician will say, oh, by the way, even though you have this huge debt, the college debt that you have to take on and everything, we're going to take away one of the ways you can help pay for college. It's just hard for me to believe that they could do that or they will do that. I can't see it happening. Just can't. But I don't think you have to worry about it if you're already in a college saving plan, because they won't make it retroactive. They won't say, okay, you've been 5 years in it today, 529 program for college, and okay, now we're stopping today, regardless if you bought it got into it 5 years ago. I can't see that happening. It'll be looking forward. After, you know, it's okay, no more new 529 programs, and we'll let the old ones run off. That's how it probably will work, but I doubt they'll even do that. You're listening to Invest Talk. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. I enjoy talking with you about your money, with you, or about money by myself. I just like talking about it. So give me a call if you want to have any questions you might about anything financial. 888-99-CHART.
What makes a stock fit into a certain category like emerging markets? Or what's your question? Why not ask it now at 888-99-CHART on InvestTalk.
888-99-CHART. We're going to talk to Phil, who lives in Pleasant Hill, which is a very nice area. How you doing, Phil?
Pretty good, Steve. Hey, I'm 68 and I'm about ready to retire. I haven't started collecting Social Security or tapped into my nest egg, but I wonder how my age correlates with the 4% rule.
Okay, no matter what age you are, Phil, you could be 50, you could be 80, but the older you are, the more you could take out, obviously. But in your 60s and your 70s, the 4 to 4.5% rule, it will be perfect for you as long as you have some exposure in the marketplace. You can't just sit sit in money market making nothing. And for everybody else, Phil, let me explain. The 4% rule means, and some people say 4.5%, and as you get older, you can bump that up to 5, 5.5, depending on your asset base. What it means is you can take 4% out of your assets. You have $1 million. You can take 4% out a year, and you'll never run out of money. Okay? You'll never run out of money, because that money will grow more than 4% a year. See, so, and that's what Phil's asking about. What about the 4% rule? Does it affect me depending on my age? I'm 68. And not really. If you were 90, Phil, and I probably said, well, you can take out a lot more than 4%, and depending on your assets and what you're spending, how much, you know, everybody's a little different, right? But, you know, it changes with your age. But in your 60s and 70s, the 4% rule is just fine as long as you have some exposure to the market some way. But not a lot, just some. 50-50. So, we have a terrible connection Phil, appreciate the call. Thank you very much. I couldn't hear that last question. You can call me in the office. I'll be happy to talk to you about it more if you want to talk about it. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Why don't people save money for retirement? We all know it. The statistics are there. We all know they don't. And this is a big survey was taken out, several of them actually, and they combined the surveys to come to conclusions. And 56% of people don't see themselves as older. They plan for the near term, not the long term. That, they say, is the biggest problem. People don't see themselves in old age. They only see, like, well, what's next year and the next 5 years? I got to do this and that and up above. They never look out 30 years or 20, 30, 40 years and say, man, what am I going to do? Oh, I got to worry about my children right now. And I got to worry about my father. He needs financial help. But they don't worry. They do not worry about the retirement years until it gets much closer. And it'd be so much easier for them if they started earlier. Here's some interesting numbers. 33% of people have no money saved. Zero. 23% have less than $10,000. Okay, that's 56% has less than $10,000 saved. 56% of people. 10% have between $10,000 and $50,000. 8% have between $50,000 and $100,000. 8% have between $100,000 and $200,000. 5% have between $200,000 and $300,000. And what's really interesting is 13% have $300,000 or more. Interesting, huh? That tells you that the rich people, there's a lot more wealthy people having a lot more money. And you could, because that's not surprising to me, but it's interesting. Not surprising. Because most people are in that middle area between $50,000 and $300,000. I mean, that's basically, I won't say most, but that's what, 20, 10, 26, 31% in that area. 10 and 300,000, 30, 31%. Where 56% are 10,000 less. Kind of interesting. I like it. Good stuff. Good facts. Got to call it a day. Time is up. An hour goes by fast. I want to remind you that I set aside a few hours each month for retirement reviews with listeners anywhere in the United States. You can do it via Skype or telephone, whatever you prefer. Also, I'll be in San Ramon on October 25th. So to reserve your hour, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein and everybody at KPP, thank you for listening today. And let's meet up again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.